It always seems so quick that I'm up here and just enjoying the service so much, and then it becomes my time to be up here too. So that's good. Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that is especially designed and wonderfully designed to help each one of us. Lord, give us insight today. Help us to focus upon this passage that we're going to read and study and then try to apply to our lives for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 21. We're studying through a series on 2 Peter, and we're finishing up with the first chapter today. Just three verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What we have before us today, what we read, is truly the precious Word of God. And this is one of those passages in the Bible that really points that out to us, just how precious it is. And I've said before that the Apostle Peter wrote his book in order that we might have wholesome thinking about this relationship with God that we should have. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1 both talk about our faith, things that we should be sure that our faith has and should be like. And so we should be trying to develop this intimate relationship with God. You know, that's wonderful. That should be our main focus. You know, the main thing in our lives is to becoming more and more like Jesus. And the instrument that he's going to use the most in that process is this book, the Word of God, in order to draw us closer to him. As we understand it better, as, he gets through this, noggin of ours and this hard heart of ours, then we become more and more like Jesus. But we have to read the Bible. We have to use the Bible. We have to understand the Bible. We have to meditate on the Bible in order to understand. It is the Word of God. I read this week that God's Word is God's breath. You know, the Bible is God-breathed Word. So it's like the breath of God coming from God that wants to reside right here in my heart and in your heart. And that's where we become more and more like Jesus when that happens, when we allow that to happen. When we allow God's breath to become more and more a part of our lives. And, Peter told his readers in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, that they had a faith that was just as precious as the faith that the apostles had. So from the beginning, it's been the same kind of faith. It's precious. And in the following verses, verses 3 through 11, he tells them what to strive for, that they should strive to make seven characteristics, seven aspects a part of their lives. And they're all listed there for us, seven different things. He told them that he was going to remind them about these things, the verses 12 through 15, that they could, know that it's going to come, that we're like this. We need reminders, don't we? We need to be told over and over again because we live in a world that is teaching us over and over again that these things aren't true. We need the reminders over and over again that they are true and how to implement them in our lives. And in verses 16 through 18, he told them about an experience that he and James and John had with Jesus on a mountain where they saw Jesus transfigured and they heard the word of God actually spoken to them from heaven. They were on a mountain with Jesus. Now he describes for them the precious word of God. And it seems like Peter had an emphasis on this in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and following. He speaks about the word of God. Here he speaks about the word of God again. It's one of the key passages in the Bible that speaks about the word of God. And then in chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, he's going to bring it up again of what Paul writes is the word of God. So he talks about this. He had a great respect and wonder for the word of God, just like we should have today. And he tells them in chapter 1 that we have the word of God, which is far more reliable than our experiences. Our experiences fade, but the word of God remains. It is more sure, more certain than anything we could experience. You know, it's kind of like a warranty deed. It's the same word that's used in verse 19 as used in verse 10. It's a warranty deed. I don't know if you've took time, you know, go through your files at home. If you have a deed for your house, the deed shows, you know, you own the property from the big elm to the big rock, you know, on this side. And there are so many acres in your property. And it tells you who owned it before you did, the amount you paid for it, and it is yours. Your name is written there on the bottom. There's a stamp on it. It's yours. You're sure that this belongs to you. It's the one paper you have that defines for sure that you own this. It's for certain that you own this property. You own your house. You know, own the stuff that you live in. And that's the word that's used here in verse 19. More certain, the same word. We have the word of the prophets made more certain or sure to us. Well, let's look at three aspects of the precious word of God today. Three aspects of the precious word of God. These are common words, so I kind of put the first one up for you. Should be so you can see where I'm going. The next two, it's kind of like a puzzle. See if you can come up with it before I actually say it. But the first aspect of the precious word of God is found in verse 19, and it has to do with illumination. Illumination. It says there in verse 19, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, Peter tells us here to pay attention to God's word. It's the only command that's there in all three of these verses. He tells us to pay attention to God's word. It means to focus our concern upon it, to focus our care towards it, to focus our commitment at these things, around these things. Pay attention to God's word. And we do that because it will illuminate us. And the way I've always got that in my mind is, you know, you've seen those like comic strips where, you know, you're trying to teach somebody something, you're trying to give somebody an idea, and suddenly the light bulb comes on. You know, the light bulb comes on and you can understand. It's illuminated. It's pointed out. It's made clear to you. And that's the idea there. It shows us, the Bible tells us, the difference between right and wrong. We need that all the time because we live in a dark, dry, murky place on this earth that's dominated by sin. And this verse points to the future, to Christ's return, until he comes as the ultimate light bearer, the morning star. And the word will change and transform our hearts even more when he's here. Tom read for us some verses about the Word of God. The Word of God, according to Psalm 119:05, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And that's the word that's used here in this verse. It's like an oil lamp. And that was their main way they lighted their houses during that time, was an oil lamp. And that is what the Word of God is like. It illuminates our understanding. It illuminates our path. It illuminates our lives until the day that Christ comes and he'll speak to us face to face. The light comes on. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was down helping my second son, Joel, and we were doing some wood cutting. There was a big wild cherry tree that had fallen in his woods, and he had cut it up. And so Joel and my granddaughter, she's 2 years old, Mira, and I went after this guy. And Joel was bringing it up out of this ravine and throwing it out in the grass. And I was picking it up and putting it in the wheelbarrow and rolling it about 100 feet maybe, and then stacking it on a wood pile. And Mira then was walking beside me. And when we got to the end, I would stack it, and then I would put Mira in the wheelbarrow and bring her back. It's the first time she's ever helped Grandpa and Joel with the wood. You know, we were afraid, really careful. Well, I went with her with the first load, and we got to the end, and I dumped all the stuff out and stacked it, and I was ready to pick her up and put her in the wheelbarrow, and she said, "Papa, gung, 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 gung." He pointed like that, and I thought, gung, 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 gung. What's she saying? I looked in the wheelbarrow, and there were bugs in there. And I said, "They're just bugs, Mira." She said, "Papa, gung, 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 gung." And so I took the wheelbarrow and dumped those bugs out. And she was happy after that. I learned that Mira does not like bugs. She doesn't want bugs in the wheelbarrow that she's going to ride in. So Mira illuminated me to this fact that she doesn't like bugs. The light came on. You know, Grandpa's kind of hard-headed sometimes. He doesn't get it. And the bugs are no big deal to me. But she doesn't want bugs in the wheelbarrow when she travels. And we're like that too. The Word of God illuminates us. It helps us to see the right things. Even though we were hard-hearted many times, the Word of God lights up our understanding to see what God wants us to do. Well, that's the first point. The first aspect of the precious Word of God is illumination. Illumination. The second aspect of the Word of God starts with an R. It's revelation. Revelation. We see that in verse 20. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." You know, Peter here is also commanding us to understand something about Scripture. That Scripture doesn't come from the prophet's own interpretation. It's revealed to the prophet by God. And it refers here to the source of this information. It arises from, it originates from God. Now, this was the opposite of what a lot of the prophets experienced as they shared the Word of God with the kings. Sometimes they would be sharing what God told them to tell the king, and right beside them there would be a false prophet who wasn't sharing what the Word of God was. He was sharing his own opinions, his own ideas about what God said, but that wasn't what wasn't what God wanted shared with the king. What somebody wants or thinks has nothing to do with where Scripture came from. Now, verse 20, verse 21, one of the key verses in the New Testament about this precious Word of God that we have. Others, according to my opinion, are 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, that says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work." That's one of the other ones. And the second one is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And then we have this passage that teaches us about illumination and revelation, and one more word that we'll talk about in a minute. "Turn to the person who is to your right and say to them, 'All scripture is given to us by God.'" To your right. "All scripture is given to us by God." Okay, now turn to your left and say to that person, "All scripture is given to us by God." Got it. God's precious word was given to us, revealed to us by his prophets, by nobody else. Nobody else. So those are the first two aspects that this passage teaches us about the word of God. The third aspect we find in verse 21. Verse 21. It says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So Peter here doubles down on the origin of Scripture. It is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. It proceeds from God. Therefore, it takes on the same perfection and characteristics of God himself. Men spoke as they were constantly moved. It's a, you know, present tense verb there. They were constantly moved by the Spirit of God. They were moved, constantly carried along or borne along by the Spirit. Kind of like a ship being driven in a storm by the wind. And that's the same word that we find in what Luke wrote for us in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verses 15 and 17. It's the only place, I think, where this same word occurs. And it occurs during a storm. Acts chapter 27, verses 15 through 17. It says, "The ship was caught up by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along." That's the word there. We were driven along by the wind. And then in verse 17, "When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Sistrus. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along again." So when the prophets received the word of God, they were driven along by the Spirit of God to write what God wanted them to write. You know, they used their own personalities. They used their own vocabulary. They used their own, you know, ability with the language, Greek language, in order to write this all down. And yet God caused to be written exactly what he wanted to be written without mistake. And that's what we have today in the Bible. Spirit-moved men produced Spirit-breathed writings from God. They're from God. Exactly what God wants us to know. You know, the Bible, you can compare it to a lot of things. One of the things that I have at my house that's very helpful is a flashlight. And if for some reason I have to get up at night, I turn on this flashlight. And, you know, it keeps me from stubbing my toe in the night. And I'm always barefoot, so my toe always seems to be able to find something to run into, a little toe especially. And I'm hopping around, you know, in the middle of the night. Or it helps me to avoid, you know, falling down the steps, you know, so it helps me avoid bad stuff that could happen to me in my life. And helps me avoid doors, too, that, you know, in the past were closed, but now are open about halfway, and you run right directly to them. And the Word of God is like that, isn't it? It helps us to avoid stuff that's really harmful and hurtful for us. That's why God wrote to us, so that we wouldn't do some stuff. He would keep us away from those things. But then the Word of God is not just for bad stuff. It's also for good stuff. It helps us to understand all the wondrous things that God has out there in His world for us. You know, when I look out my back window at night, it just looks black to me. You know, maybe the neighbor's dog comes out and they turn the light on for a while and I can see some things. But you know, when I turn my flashlight on, I look out there, I could say, oh, there's a raccoon. Oh, there's a possum. Oh, there goes a skunk. I'm not going to go over there. Oh, back there, there's some deer in the back part of the property. So it shows to me not just all the bad stuff, but also the wonderful good things that God has created for you and for me, so that life has meaning and purpose. He enriches our lives with many things that we wouldn't have realized before, all those wonderful things that are out there. I was reading and listening to J.I. Packer this week, and one of the people that influenced him was a guy named C.S. Lewis. J.I. Packer, you know, was English, and this guy, C.S. Lewis, was also English, but they were both Christians. And C.S. Lewis says this: everyone is on a route to heaven or hell. He said there's no such thing as an ordinary person. Everybody you meet is going to be either a creature more glorious than anything you can imagine, or a creature more dreadful than anything that you could imagine. No one in this life ever standing still. We're all en route to one or the other destinations that are there for all people, either for heaven or for hell. And all those little decisions we make either direct us towards heaven or hell. And that's why Paul writes 2 Peter. So we'll have an intimate relationship with God that's wholesome in every way. So that we'll be more and more like Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we'll enjoy it, because we'll be prepared for that time, for eternity to spend with Him. The Bible is truly the precious Word of God. We should read it. We should study it. We should memorize it. We should put it into this place right here, so when bad things come along, when there are trials, when there are temptations, we got it right there. Or when we have a chance to spend with our little granddaughter, our little grandson, we say words that are enriched by the Spirit of God. Our behavior is enriched by the Spirit of God, so they can look up and say, oh yeah, that Papa, he's pretty good because he's following Jesus. Let's pray as we think about the precious Word of God. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Peter's testimony about how wonderful the Bible is, the Word of God that was given to the prophets and then relayed to us and protected for us so we might have it today. We might use it, not just have it on our coffee table, but have it in our hearts so that people can see Jesus through us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.